Good morning. How are you guys doing? I've got nice earphones, guys, just to put it out there. Cool and snazzy. Right, what on earth am I here for? Right, we're continuing. I mean, we've done a lot, all right? For example, last week, we were called to belong. We are called to belong to God. We are called to belong to the church. We are called to be in society and to fit in and to belong. Today, we are called to become. That's what we're talking about, all right? We are called to become. So just before we start, can I just say a little prayer for this morning? Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus, we come before you, Lord, and I thank you, Father, for this time. I thank you, Lord, that you're always with us, always guarding us and looking after us. We give you glory and honor, Father. Be with us. Open our hearts and minds so that we can receive your word, and help me, Lord, to speak what comes from you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. In our tables, here's a question, right? What are you called to become? What do you think you are called to become? It's a tough question. Just for 2 minutes, what is it that you think you are called to become? Let's discuss. Right. Thank you. I think this table is having the most fun. We'll start here. Just tell me what you guys discussed. What are we called to become? Guys, it's not a trick question. It's what you think. And I can't say that's not what you're thinking. All right. What are you called to become? Who's going to speak? Anyone? Guys.
Okay, so we said that we're called to become disciples of God. We're called to become disciples of God, as well as loving other people of different cultures and being unique.
Called to become disciples and loving people. Wow. All right. No, you guys had the most fun. Let me come here. What are you called for?
We discussed that we've been called to bring hope and to help heal people.
To bring hope, to help heal people, and yeah. Right. Who's speaking here?
Based on our values, based on who we are, and if we know ourselves from society's point of view, I think that's what we're called to be. That's if we know who we are.
That's interesting. What you guys are saying is very interesting. We are called, everything that you say, we are called to be a companion, we are called to disciple, we are called to love others, we are called to belong in society, and all of that. Do you know what all of that is? Is that we are called to become like Jesus. Jesus Christ was all of that. Jesus Christ was here to love others. Jesus Christ on earth helped to disciple people. Jesus here on earth healed people. Jesus is a child of God. We are called to become children of God. So we are called to become like Jesus Christ himself. Question can be like how? Like it's confusing. Né? I see Ebenezer's like, We are called to become like Jesus. Hey, that's, you're actually making us, like the standard is high. Like that is there. Jesus is there and I'm just here. But we are called to become like him. How do we become like him, you may ask, right? We become like him by doing the things that he did. By doing the things that he did. Like discipling others. When we talk about our just one, we are not just talking about just one. We actually mean it. Have your just one. Pray for your just one. Communicate with your just one. Do you know what you're doing? You're discipling. You may not be discipling 12 people like Jesus did, but at least you have that one. That's what we are called to become. We are called to become like Christ. Here's a scripture that I would like us to read. It says, "And we know that all things work together for good to those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. For those God foreknew, he also predestinated to be conformed to the image of his son, that he might be the firstborn among many brothers and sisters." That's Romans 8, verse 28 to 29. So, for all to be good, you need to be called. Why are we called? We are called according to his purpose. We are called according to God's purpose. What is God's purpose? Is for us to be exactly like Christ. Christ came so that we can follow what he was doing. So we are called to become like Christ. Because as you continue in the scripture, it says, he foreknew us, meaning he knew us before we were even born. And he predestinated us to be conformed to the image of his son. Predestination means he knew the end in the beginning. He knew what you should become before you were even born. And that is the image of his son, Jesus Christ. So God predestinated us to be like his son. He foreknew us. And he says, because his son, so that his son can be the firstborn among many brothers and sisters. So Jesus Christ is our firstborn. So we are children of God. So we need to be like God. And you may still ask, but how? Here's the first thing we must do. Simplify your life. Make your life simple. All right? I'll read the scripture. Hebrews 12 verse 1 says, therefore, since we are surrounded by such great cloud of witness, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles. And let us run with perseverance the race marked before us. So to make things simple, to simplify, the screen is hitting my eyes. To simplify things for yourself, making your life simple, right? I'll make an example of a runner, Caster Semenya, right? When Caster runs, even in winter, you don't see her having jerseys and jackets, heavy shoes, right? You make it as simple as possible. You have a light load. You wear clothes that are very light. The shirt, the T-shirt that you wear, it's very light. I can't run in these techies. They techies. But for me to run and run a good race, these are not for running. I need lighter shoes for me to run. That's why they wear shorts and tights, to make their load lighter, to make themselves feel lighter. So that's why we need to simplify our lives. How do we simplify our lives so that we can become like Christ? We get rid of all the things that are burdens, that are burdening us. We offload every sin to God. We offload every burden and give it to God. The friends that you know that those friends are not good friends, you offload them. You take them away from your life for your life to be simple. So simplify your life. As the scripture says, take away the sin, right? Everything that entangles us. So run with perseverance. So we're continuing as we go to our second point with the same verse. It says, don't be impatient. Don't be impatient. Firstly, simplify your life. Number two, do not be impatient. Why? I've got perseverance underlined there. So that you can run with perseverance, right? Don't get impatient. Carry on, press on, hold on, do not give up. Giving up is not an option. When you run, let's say, who's a runner here? Who does athletics? Hey, only 1, 2, 3, 4 people, okay. And Gracie, nice. So, when you run, when you do athletics, and you are the last one, what do you do? Do you stop running? No, you don't stop running because the aim is to finish the race. You do not stop running. You continue. If you are swimming and you know that, you know what, I'm the last person and the first person is actually coming back. You don't stop. You continue to run. Why? To finish the race. So we need to run this race that God has put on us with perseverance. And the nice thing about this race of life that we are in is that you're not racing against anyone. But you have one goal, to reach heaven. That's why we're running this race, so that we can reach heaven. If I'm the last person to reach heaven, does it mean the first person was better than me? No, it doesn't. Because the aim is to reach heaven. is to get in there. So let's not be impatient. Things will happen in life, right? Things will happen in your life. Things that are bad. Things that you will question God about. I was even talking to Tammy, you know, just now, that sometimes you question God. Like you take things to God and you question Him. That time will come because life is happening and life is hard at the moment. Even when we're doing that, never get impatient. Trust God that God will reach you where you are. Run this race with perseverance. Right. The third point is spend time focusing on Jesus every day. Spend your time focusing on Jesus every day. Hebrews 12 verse 2a, I wrote a because it's not complete. It says, fix your eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of our faith. Fix your eyes on Him. Why? Because He's our goal. When you're running a race, right, though the runners, when you're running that race, when you're there, where are you focusing? Forward. You're focusing to the goal, to the end. Are there things happening around you? Of course there are. There's people cheering, there's people booing, there's other runners that you're running with, but you focus on the goal ahead. And you run. So we need to focus on Christ. How do we do that? We do that by spending time with Him. Whoever I spend time with the most is the person that I'm going to relate to the most. So spend time with God. Spend time with Jesus. How do I do that? Read your Bible and pray. Talk to Him. Read the words that He wrote. What is He saying to you? When we come here and preach, we're not saying our own words. We're not just pulling things out of our heads or whatever. We're not magicians. But it's because you've spent time preparing, spending time with God and understanding what God is saying to you. So spend time with Jesus Christ. There's this saying that says, show me your friends and I'll show you who you are. Right? Because they say, birds of the same feather flock together. So if you have Jesus by your side, I'll show you where you're going to end up. I'll show you who you will become. If Jesus is your best friend, that says a lot about who you are. Spend time with Him. And I'm not saying, by spending time with Him, I'm not saying spend 5 hours with Him. No. Just put that, start with 10 minutes every day. Just start with 10 minutes. And you'll see, the more you spend time with God, the more that time will increase. You won't even consciously increase that time, but it will increase. Just 5 minutes a day, spend it with Christ. Spend it with God. And you'll see what God will do in your life and for your life. Number four, when it gets hard, remember the reward. When it gets hard, remember the reward. Life can get hard, like that man there, right? Life can get that hard that you feel like you're pushing against something and you're going nowhere. But remember the third point, persevere. Do not give up. And the scripture says, James 1 verse 2 to 4, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. But let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. So God is saying, let's count it all joy. When trouble comes, I remember one time I was in a very bad space in my life. Still a Christian. But things were happening. I was feeling like God is not there. And this one woman, it helps to talk to people, right? This one woman from church, I spoke to her, and she said, you know, this makes me joyful for you that you're going through what you're going through. I'm like, huh? Why? She says, it means you're doing something right in life. That's why the devil is fighting so much. That's why the devil is throwing things at you. because you are doing something right for God. And I was like, wow, okay, that's encouraging. And she read the scripture to me. Count it all joy when you go through trials and tribulations. Another version says that. And it says, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. We beg to patience again. When our faith is tested, when you're going through things, and we persevere and we stay and we hang on, our faith grows. I've heard a lot of people praying that, oh, God, increase my faith. Please, God, increase my faith. That's how God increases your faith, by allowing things to happen. Let's remember Job, right? What happened to Job? The richest man in the world at that time. In one day, Job lost everything. He had 7 kids. He lost them all. They died. He had wealth. He lost it all. Worst of all, he got sick. He had boils all over his body. But did he give up? No, he didn't give up. Instead, his faith increased. When people came, even his wife, discouraging him, Job stood and said, I know my Redeemer lives. And do you know what happened? After all that, after some time, probably years, probably a lot of time passed before Job was restored, he got everything 4 times more. He got back everything times 4. That's the God we serve. Do you know what happened before Job actually lost everything? The devil went to God and said, God, see your child Job. If he loses, if I can take everything of his, you'll see. He's not going to worship you anymore. That's what the devil does with us. The devil goes to God and say, look at Amber. Like, she goes to church, right? She's beautiful. If I can maybe give her a scratch, like a scar on her face, she will curse you and not believe in you anymore. Just a silly example. But that's what the devil does. Whatever comes your way, just know that it's the devil trying to pull you down. So, let us count it all joy when we go through trials and tribulations. When I was telling some people that, for example, when someone gives you a nickname, right, and you fight it, and you keep on fighting against that nickname, what happens? It sticks. Boyo. Right? It sticks. Because you are making the people who are giving you the nickname and having fun at your expense, you're making them more happy because you're giving them a reaction. But when someone gives you a nickname and you say, oh yeah, ha 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 ha, and you laugh about it, no reaction, they probably never gonna call you that name ever again because you're not giving them what they want. Just like the devil, when you joyful and you rejoice and you say, God, thank you that I'm going through this. Please help me go through it. You're not giving the devil the response that he's expecting. And he's going to back away. Number 5, gather a team to run with, right? Get people to run with you. That's why we are here. The best team you can get, it's fellow Christians. That people that will be able to pray for you and pray with you. That's why we have small groups in the church, right? That's why we have Connect. That's why on Fridays we sit around in groups. That's why even here right now we're sitting in groups. That's why we have discussion questions so that we can pull each other up and help each other run the race. So that we can pray for each other. So it's very important to surround yourself with people who have the same mind. 1 John chapter 4, verse 7 and 8 says, Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. And everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. He who does not love does not know God, for God is love. So we do this with love. We pray for each other with love. We praise God for each other with love. If Ethan achieves something that I wanted to achieve, I don't say, oh, man, Ethan. But I rejoice with Ethan. That's love. I rejoice with him and thank God that at least he could do it. He made it, even though I didn't. That's love. So if we have love, we have God, because God is love. Number 6, God has a plan for you. We see that in Jeremiah 29, verse 11. You probably know the scripture off by heart. It says, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you a hope and a future." So God wants you to prosper. You're called to be like Jesus. You are called to become like Jesus because Jesus prospered. How do we know? He achieved his goal. He died for our sins. So how do we prosper? By making sure that we get to heaven. I'm not saying now when you've messed up, right? When you've messed up, you're like, I messed up. Eish. It means I'm not going to heaven. No, we don't serve a God like that. Our God is not like that. Our God is a God who forgives, which takes us to our last point. God is not ashamed of you. God will never be ashamed of you. Can he be disappointed by the things we do? Yes, but he's never ashamed of you because he created you. He looked at you and he said, "This is good." Do we mess up? Yes, we do. Here's a scripture. "Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I set you apart." Jeremiah 1 verse 5a. He knew us before we were born. So he's not ashamed of us. He loves us. He wants us to run this race. And remember, when we run this race, when we are becoming like Christ, we are not alone, but he is with us because he's not ashamed of us. He's not ashamed to be seen with us. Even in times when we sin, he's not ashamed to be seen with us because he's trying to pull us back in and say, "My child, come back home." Because that's why he says, when you ask for forgiveness, he forgives, and when he forgives, he forgets. Whatever God has forgiven you for, he's forgotten it already. So with that, here are some questions. What have you learned from this lesson? That's question number 1. Question number 2, what are you going to change in your life to become like Christ? Question number 3, who does God say you should become? Those are the questions. You have 10 minutes to discuss these 3 questions.
I hope you have learned from this, from today's preaching, and hopefully you've learned from each other as well. You know, what people were saying. I am called to become this. This is what God wants me to be. And remember, we're just not doing this series or this campaign. We're just not doing it. It's not because we were bored, but it's because we want people to understand why they are here on earth. Why do I exist? Right? So if you know that, or if you feel like you need prayer, if you want prayer, if you want God to reveal more on who you should become, please come up front. I'm not going to ask people to close their eyes. Just please stand and come up front and we will pray for you. If you want to know your purpose, if you want to realize who God wants you to be, please come up front and we will pray. Yeah, you can come. Yeah, just come. And then can our leaders, Lise, Esha, Gracie is here, Boyo, and Ember, please come and, no? Yes? Maybe? Okay, and Ruth, please come and pray for. All right. And then as they are praying, let's extend our hands and just also pray for them as well. And then let me just close this in prayer. Thank you, guys. It's you know, God says, if you're ashamed of me, like, don't be. Just come up, right? Just come up and let's pray for you. And God is happy when these things happen. Can I just pray just to close off today? Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you, Father, for this day, for this morning. We thank you, Lord, that you have You have shown us, Lord, that you love us and you are never ashamed of us and you're always walking beside us. As we're running this race of life, Lord, help us run with perseverance. Let us remember that this is not a sprint. This is a marathon. This is not who gets there first, but it's how am I getting there and not giving up. And I thank you, Father, for all these young people in this room. In Jesus' name, as we go home, be with us and remember and help us to remember, Lord, to spend time with you. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. So remember, daily devotions are coming. All right. Every day, whether it's school holidays or not, we're not done. Sit. Okay. Daily devotions will still go on and continue during the school holidays. And today is the last Sunday because we're going into school holidays. So there's no Friday. I know, guys. I know you love us. I know you love us. But it's school holidays. During school holidays, we don't have youth. Maybe we can review that in future, you know. Maybe we might just review that in future. But we are back here on the 5th of April. The schools reopened on the 2nd of April. April 5, we are back in this room. Don't worry, we will remind you on the WhatsApp group. If you haven't signed up for the WhatsApp group, please sign up today so that we can add your name. And no youth on Friday. We are going to see each other again on the 5th of April. God bless you. We love you. Walk with God. Amen. That's about to fall.